Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, it's a Friday, but we don't have to tell you that. Hey, it's raining, but we don't have to tell you that. Hey, slow down.
Boy, this Friday couldn't have came fast enough, huh? This was a long week.
Yeah, it was a tough
week. It was a long week.
Everybody knows it was a tough week for us, yes. Yeah. That's not a secret. Slow down. I don't want to have to sit here and sound like your dad, because I can remind you of a time when I was driving my brand new Mustang up 75 in a rainstorm like we having this morning around here, and that thing ended up face first into the concrete divide there at West Paces Ferry, okay? I'm just saying, you know, slow down. No reason to hydroplane, okay? Hydroplaning is real, no matter what anybody tells you.
Yeah, okay? It's no joke. I haven't hydroplaned, but I've been on the, you know, it hasn't been bad, but you know, you can feel it when the car is a little
wiggle.
Yeah. I'm not a fan.
I felt that wiggle with that.
Not a fan of that.
I was driving up. It was probably 86 or 87, and driving up, leaving CNN. And I had this, it was 87 because it was an 87 Mustang. Brand new silver 87 Mustang. I bought mag wheels for it, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, this was my first, like, super hot, I'm 27 years old, hot guy car, okay?
Yeah, you got to have one of those.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely know what you mean.
And so I'm driving up, leave CNN, and it's raining, and there's a truck in front of me, a pickup truck, and I see it, and this is as you're coming up, for those of you going northbound, when you're coming up out of that little swale towards West Paces Ferry, northbound on 75, and the dude had a ladder, and the ladder falls off the truck.
Ooh.
Okay? And I'm just behind him, and I'm just doing, like, you know, 60 miles an hour or something, and I merge left, because there's not a whole lot of traffic. This is at, like, 2 in the morning, because I had just gotten off the show. And I merged left and hit a puddle. Dude, I did donut, bam, right into the concrete diviner.
Yeah, you had your seatbelt on though, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I was fine. The car was toast. Yeah. And I'm standing there going, no, I've had it for a week.
Yeah, I had a Mustang. I didn't wreck it. I had not the fastback. I had the shortback Mustang. I had a 5.0. I had got it when I got drafted. And I left it, when I got drafted by the Jets, I left it in Ohio with my roommate at the time, because I was still in college. And I remember he called me and told me, hey, man, I wrecked your Mustang.
No.
And I was like, dude.
No. Dude wrecked your Mustang?
Yeah, it was nice. It was teal. It was teal. And I remember, like, you know, back then, for kids, like, the 5.0 was like the Mustang to have.
Right.
And he wrecked it. And I was a little bit upset behind that. But now when I look back at it, because you know how you think when you're younger, oh, I'm going to keep this car forever.
Uh-huh.
And you look back on it, and I look at that car now when I see him, I'm like, man, ain't no way on God's green earth I could have fit in this car now.
That's something you probably got to know, is that back in the 80s, for a while there, even though they were hot cars, like my Mustang, I'm pretty sure that the platform they put them on was a Pinto platform.
Yeah, it was a small, that was the thing, John, like, I'm one of those guys, big guy in a little car. That would be me. Like I've throughout my days on this earth, I've always liked sports cars. But the problem is, you know, when you get in a sports car, you're sitting on the ground.
Right.
Like you're talking about American Muscle when I'm talking about sports cars. I had a few exotics, but yeah, you're sitting on the ground, and that's like when you get older, your knees and your butt spread and everything. It's hard to climb in and out of those cars, man. It's hard.
Your butt.
Ready. No, I'm saying, because I know. I remember.
It just struck me funny.
No, I remember because I bought a Viper.
Uh-huh.
It was a Dodge Viper, and my son went with me to pick it up, and I was in the car, and I was tight. You know, it was like a bear, but a little.
Yeah, but those are cool cars.
Yeah,
come on.
And my son kept looking at me, right, and he was like, "Dad, you are way too big for this car." And I told him, I said, "Shut up, shut up. We're getting this. We're getting this."
You're not talking you out of that thing.
No, he didn't. He didn't. And I adjusted. But after a while, you know, climbing in and out of that little car, man, it was a beast.
It is a Friday. Do be careful out there. I mean, we don't have to tell you that. You know, this storm, the bullion. By the way, you should know this. This is part of that, because I was watching. This is me being a nerd.
The polar bomb?
The bomb cyclone. This is part of the bomb cyclone that hit Denver out there with those 100-mile-an-hour winds.
When you driving home yesterday, did you notice how dark it was as you went further out the city?
Yep.
That's crazy. That was crazy.
That was that bomb cyclone thing that hit Denver. So we're getting kind of a part of that. I guess they had a lot of, and again, tornadoes. She's all over the place. So now we're not going to have tornadoes. Don't worry. I mean, so it's not, just,
don't be sure. So sure, John, because this morning it was kind of strangely warm. for it to be raining the way that it was. You know, that warm rain. So, you know, you never know.
Yeah, okay, I never know. I'm not that educated in it, but just do be careful out there. We want you to arrive alive. A lot to talk about. It is Friday, and, of course, Selection Sunday is coming up. One of the questions we're going to be asking you to weigh in on today actually has to do with Selection Sunday, because this is such a gigantic event, and it got me thinking, and we're going to do a poll on it in a few minutes. We'll post a poll. I'll probably have to do that in the break on this, and that is a kind of asking you what the biggest non-game sports day of the year is for you. Because I can think of four, really, well, there's a lot of them. I would have probably at one point included, National Signing Day because, you know.
Oh, you mean something that is related to sports but not actually a sporting event? Is that what you're talking about? Like Selection Sunday?
Right, yeah. So the four I had were National Signing Day. Okay.
Draft.
The NBA Draft, the NFL Draft, and Selection Sunday.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty cool. Okay. Those are pretty cool days. Speaking of the NFL draft, I would be curious to know the fans, and I'll probably ask this question later on because I don't know how many people are up, but who's planning on riding out to Tennessee? Was it Chattanooga, Nashville?
Nashville.
Nashville. Who's trying to go to Nashville?
Well,
I am.
If we can get him at Double X to let us go.
I would say, John, you might want to let that dream go. And when I said that, I was saying it like
I know, the
you
fans.
Go on your, well, on your own dime. On your own dime.
Right.
Like, because I'm thinking like this, as a casual fan, well, as a fan of football, that's not a bad road trip.
I mean,
to go to the NFL draft and think about it like this, I don't necessarily need to be in the building.
Right.
I can be in the vicinity and still enjoy a good time. Because think about it like this, Nashville, what's in Nashville? What, you can go to, was it Dolly Parton Land or whatever?
That's in Sevierville. No. You have the district. You know, all the way down Broadway with all the great clubs.
Okay,
and,
see, because I've
they
never
call downtown Nashville is actually really nice.
Oh yeah,
see, because
it's
I've
only
never
really
been.
Kind of, one of there's stadiums down there.
Yeah, I've never been to Nashville. Yeah. I've never like hung out in Nashville. Now I know Memphis.
Okay, so
now I know Memphis, but I don't know Nashville.
It's almost exactly the same as Beale Street in a lot of ways. They're very similar. Beale Street is the blues, and Nashville's country.
So
it's the same.
I would think like if. It all depends.
Broadway and Nashville, right?
Because the draft is on what, Thursday?
Yes, Thursday.
I would shoot down there Friday and hang out just to hang out. I would probably get a room because I would probably say at this point, because it's so late in the game trying to get, you know, accommodations, I would get a room outside of Nashville.
You'd have to, because one of the things that's true about Nashville, when they have events downtown,
it's a wrap.
You can't get a room for under $500 downtown.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
ridiculous.
So I would stay out of town and I would park and get an Uber ride into town and enjoy the festivities. You know, get a couple of adult beverages. You know, probably sing some country karaoke, and just hang out and watch the draft. It just seems to me like because of the draft being there, you could go to any local establishment and you could still have a good time.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's hundreds of them. I mean, either side of the street.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, I don't know, and this is going to sound bad at me because I haven't been there in, gosh, 10 years. I've been there a number of times. We used to go a lot when I was a kid because it was a great little 3-hour road trip to go up there when you were, you know, because you were in college and you went to get drunk. You know,
I mean, yeah.
But it used to be one side of the street, all the clubs were smoking, and the other side were non-smoking.
Non-smoking, yeah. So you went to the non-smoking side. Yeah,
which side do you go to?
I would make that trip. I would make that trip. Probably get some good barbecue, you know, get a nice pair of cowboy boots, keep it moving.
Well, so I think if you were voting, Hugh, National Signing Day, NBA Draft, NFL Draft, or Selection Sunday, your favorite non-game day is NFL Draft. Is that correct?
I would probably say that. I would probably say that just because of, you know, because it's that's the life changing moment for a lot of young kids. Well, any of those are kind of life changing because it's an exciting time. But I would say the draft.
Yeah, I would probably lean to the NFL draft too. I mean, as much as I love Selection Sunday that's coming up on Sunday, one thing is true: we know who's in. You know,
that's what I'm saying. But John, honestly, who watches Selection Sunday but diehards?
I'll watch it.
That's what I'm saying. Diehards. Like it's not one of those.
Well,
things.
I think it's got a huge audience because everybody's filling out their bracket.
I think everybody fills out their bracket Monday or Tuesday because the playing games are what, Wednesday or Thursday, something like that. So I would think that
Tuesday and Wednesday, correct?
Yeah. So I would think that, you know, everybody, you know, that Sunday, whatever you have going on, because you got to remember, NASCAR still. I'm not saying everybody watches NASCAR, but NASCAR is on and people are still watching their respective sports. You know, MLS is going to be playing. So I don't know if Sunday is the day. I think it would probably be Monday like to fill out your brackets and everything.
Right, and back in the day, we didn't have the luxury. And when I say, you have to understand, technology has changed so fast that things change so rapidly. When I say back in the day, I'm talking about in the
80s. 10 years.
Okay?
What, 10, 12,
20? Oh, even 20 years ago. You didn't have such a thing as printable brackets that because there was no internet. So there was no printable bracket. You had to make a bracket. Somebody had to make a bracket. You know, what we would do is we would photocopy the bracket out of the AJC. Okay?
Yes.
Blank bracket out of the AJC, blow it up, and then run off photocopies. And so on Selection Sunday, you had to fill it out by hand because there was no printable bracket. Okay.
See, okay, you're going old school. See, I'm thinking about the way that I do it now because I get about
three or four
brackets.
Yeah, but you had to do it. So I'm still one of those people, Hugh, that I'll sit down and I will fill out the bracket by hand.
You're not talking about sitting there and like filling in the bracket as they announce the oh, John.
Yeah, you have a blank bracket, and as they announce the East,
oh, John.
I'm going through and going Duke versus, you know, Texas Southern, and then the
John,
next
game that's working harder. That's not working smarter.
Well, you know, in theory, in my brain, when I do that, then I have a better idea of who's playing who.
Better feel for the team.
When I remember things when I write them down.
No, I'm like that, too. I'm like that, too. But
because then you ask me afterwards, who's Duke playing? Oh, they're playing Texas Southern in the East.
I know what you're saying, because you have to physically have to go through your
right.
hand. I got you. I know what you mean. I know what you mean. But that's working too hard, though. Especially when they got it already printed out there in the paper.
If you wait
a couple hours,
you could
go
five minutes.
Yeah, you go on ESPN and get the full
printable bracket.
Yeah, that's it.
I
get it. I get it, though. I get it.
It's just sort of old school, you know. I know it involves something called a pen and handwriting. I know. You don't type it. I know. I know.
Speaking of pen and handwriting, you know, kids don't write cursive anymore in school. They don't teach it.
Well, that's what I heard at some point.
They don't teach it.
Really? They don't teach cursive anymore.
No, it was funny.
But how do you, wait a second, how do you sign your name? Do you just?
You sign your name. Like, my son signs his name.
Like, just with regular
printout? Like, they teach you how to sign your name.
Oh, they teach you how to sign your name.
They teach you. But I remember, what was it? Somebody wrote him for his birthday. He got a birthday card. And they wrote it in cursive.
And he looked at it like it was Sanskrit.
He was like, and he said, I don't know how to read that. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, I don't know how to read cursive. And I was like, wow.
And they got math all jacked up, too.
No, math is different.
School.
Math
oh, yeah,
is different.
It is.
Math is different. Thank God for his mother. Because if it wasn't for her, oh, boy.
A lot of ways to be part of the show. We'll post that poll and ask you and talk about it throughout the show. You know, what's your favorite non-game sports day of the year? And also talk to you about college basketball. It is Selection Sunday. And what are you seeing out there? We'll update you on the ACC, the SEC. Did you see any of Zion last night? Because I'm about to get over my skis, okay? I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to do it. It's going to be next with John and you on the morning show on a Friday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John and you on a Friday. Zion Williamson last night had him a night. What a way to return. And I guess I'm one of those people that said, well, he might take a little while. He's been gone for, what, three weeks, almost a month. Might take him a little while. Oh, my God, all he did was go out and set a new ACC tournament record.
Yeah, he was out there balling.
Oh,
and you know what's funny? They made a big deal about the shoes he was wearing, too. There was, like, the Kyries, the Kyrie 3s or whatever they called them. I don't know the number. I'm not a shoe guy. So I apologize, youngins, for not knowing the number of the shoe.
Right.
But they made a big to-do about that and talking about they were built to withstand a heavier load payload of his body size, because they say Zion's like, what, 275?
Mm-hmm.
So they said the shoes were designed for a heavier guy. So, you know, I just thought that was kind of funny, you know, Nike doing a little bit of damage control as far as, you know.
A little?
Well, these shoes aren't built for
normal people.
For a bigger guy. They're not built. They're built for more of a leaner type. Yeah, I got you. Like a cleat.
Right.
Yeah, I got you.
13 of 13 from the floor. 29 points. Duke blows out Syracuse. And all it did was help, again, cement and grow the legend of Zion.
Yeah,
I mean,
no question about that.
That his name isn't John or Bob. His name is Zion. I mean, it's just like, you know, it's like Zeus coming into play with Georgia. I mean, when you have that name, and then because I was sitting around this morning before the show, right, and I pull up the NBA, a list of the NBA's number one draft picks, and I'm talking to Bo, and I'm saying, I think that Zion might be the biggest star in college basketball to be picked number one since, and I went back, I went Patrick Ewing in 1985. Because the other number one picks, either they were no, like Blake Griffin, for example. He was known in college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
He was a star, but he wasn't a superstar.
He wasn't as captivating.
Right.
And, you know, now with him being back and him playing the way that he did and having the kind of dominant night that he had, John, people are looking at Duke a little bit differently, especially when you got Gonzaga took their first L in like 21 games. They're looking at Duke in a totally different light right now. So it's one of those things. I couldn't argue with you this morning when you said that. When you said that, because, you know, sometimes you tend to, like, really go out over your skis. But I was thinking about that. As far as all the pop and pageantry and everything that's surrounding him right now being in college, yeah. And who was I trying to think of that might have been maybe on that level? Was Ben Simmons, maybe. But I think what really hurt Ben Simmons was that year in the tournament. He kind of stopped playing.
Right.
Like, I remember I was watching, it was LSU and A&M. He stopped playing. He stopped playing in the game. He was just out there. And you knew he was getting ready for the next level. Zion goes out there in the ACC tournament and just acts a donkey. So, yeah, he's definitely – I can't argue with you with that. When you're talking about all the excitement that's around him, I can't argue with that.
You know, you look at some of the number one picks and you realize a lot of them – we're back in the high school days, you know. I mean, you guys got, you know, LeBron James or you know the you know those kind of guys that came out of straight out of high school, or you had some Yao Mings who came over from, you know, China, foreign-born players, and a lot of good college basketball players. I mean, they were good, but they weren't Zion. And the other thing to keep in mind is that, you know, Michael Jordan, when he was at North Carolina, and you need to know this if you don't remember it, if you were you know, too young to remember it, when he came out in 85, there was no – I mean, Michael Jordan was known, but it was really believed by a lot of people, myself included, that Michael Jordan wasn't even the best player on his own college team, okay? That James Worthy was the best player on that team, and that Michael was a very good player. But there's a reason – one of the reasons he wasn't taken number one overall. He was taken number three because Hakeem Olajuwon was the biggest star in college basketball that year in 84. So, yeah, but Zion changes the dynamic. He is so – I haven't seen such a hands-down number one pick runaway. I mean, every year there seems to be a guy that locks the number one pick. But this is like there's Zion and everybody else in the draft. You couldn't – whoever gets the number one pick, you couldn't trade them enough, Hugh, to get Zion.
He has a lot of potential. But I think that a lot of people feel 275, John, for a basketball player, that's a big dude.
Are you talking – all right, there was a guy named Mel Turpin. He played at Kentucky. He was considered one of the top, if not the top, college basketball player. And then he goes – but everybody said about Mel Turpin, they called him – his nickname was Dinner Bell Mel. And sure enough, he got to the NBA, and he went
– yeah, you kind of worry about that. And I've heard that, you know, 275, that's big. That's a big guy. And – you know, I know that in the NBA, the emphasis on working out is not as great. You work out, but not like you do, say, like for the NFL,
mm-hmm,
or things like that. So you kind of tend to worry about that a little bit because he is a big dude. He's a big dude.
Yeah, that's what – I mean, put it in context, okay? If you say Zion into the NBA right now, where does he rank? Is he a top 20 NBA player?
I think with his physical attributes.
I mean, right now, today.
Physical attributes, and you look at – see, this is why it's kind of hard to quantify, John, because you look at the young players that are playing in the NBA. Now, you got to take what the young players are doing now, say like a Trae Young, Luka Doncic, and you can say yes. But you also got to factor in the toll of the 82-game season in the NBA.
I understand.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the fact that maybe – there's an issue with the size. The size might come into play as far as his endurance and everything like that is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of hard to say. Those are the things that when you ask me that question, it's kind of hard to factor all of that stuff in because all of that really – that means something. All of that means something.
Right.
And if you're durable enough to handle the rigors of that size and that game load.
Well, today in the ACC, it is a totally chalk in the ACC tournament. The four big powers have advanced to the semifinals are today, Florida State against Virginia and Duke against North Carolina. Now, I'm not going to make any predictions here because I'm bad at predictions, but do you think that the Dukies tonight against North Carolina have a point to prove, considering they are 0-2 against North Carolina, both without Zion? Because remember, the first game's when he got hurt, 39 seconds in or whatever it was. So they haven't played, so I think Duke's got something to prove tonight against their arch rival. So semifinals today in the ACC tournament, Florida State, Virginia, and Duke, North Carolina. This is why, Hugh, some people say that the ACC tournament, some ACC fans say it's bigger than the NCAA tournament, because I don't care what the Final Four eventually is in the NCAA tournament. The Final Four in the NCAA tournament may not be
exciting as this game coming up.
No, look at this Final Four in the ACC. It may not be as good. You have Florida State, Virginia, Duke, and North Carolina.
Can't argue that.
You know what I'm saying?
Florida State was touted. They were a heavily touted team coming into this.
Well, I mean, so you have –
Virginia. A lot of people feel like Virginia is going to be the one to win it all.
You may not have four teams – you compare these four teams to whatever four teams are in the Final Four, and you may not have four better teams in the Final Four.
I'll give you that.
I'll say this, too. It's entirely plausible, looking at these teams, how good they are, that Virginia and Duke – make the Final Four, and maybe and either North Carolina or Florida State. We're looking at the ACC semifinals as being a possible pre. Who knows?
It might be a precursor to who wins it all.
Yeah, this may be the Final Four eventually. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the ACC could have.
I cannot argue that. I know you said it a few days ago. I thought you were a little crazy, but now when you look at it, and you could actually physically see it on paper, I see where you're coming from.
SEC quarterfinals today, Florida against LSU. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? I mean, okay, what do we make of this, Will Wade?
Well, yeah, because didn't Will Wade make a statement? Yeah. He was trying to come back. He wants to coach his team.
Yeah, he wants. Yeah, good luck.
Do you blame him?
No, I don't blame him. I just don't think
he's... And what did he do? in the grand scheme of it, what did he do?
I don't know. He paid somebody. Auburn against South Carolina, Bama against Kentucky, Mississippi State against Tennessee. And, yes, this Georgia Tech thing, we are monitoring to see what's going on. This is a
bad week for college athletics.
You know what? Good point.
It is. And my biggest fear, and I know nobody's really talking about the elephant in the room, is there anything involving any football? Because if it is, boy, coming up this year, John, it's going to be a rough one. Because we all know it goes on in college football, but if that story hits the fan, it's going to change. It's going to change the landscape of college sports if that hits the fan.
You know, and I heard yesterday this whole Becky Gate thing, you know, this whole elitist thing.
You named it Becky Gate, John?
I named it Becky Gate because I just had to have a better name for it. This whole Becky Gate thing, you know, with the Hollywood actresses and whatnot paying $500,000 or $1 million to get their kid into some school.
Yeah.
All the fallout. I mean, Lori Loughlin goes and shows up at, you know, she checks in at the prison house, and and she gets dropped by Hallmark yesterday, and her daughter gets dropped by Sephora. The
perfume place.
Yeah, right. She gets dropped by Sephora. And so there's all this fallout here. And, you know, will people go to jail? I don't know if they'll ultimately go to jail. There's a gigantic... I mean, it's like a $5 billion lawsuit that was filed yesterday on behalf of all the kids that were ever kept out of college.
Can you blame them?
No, I don't blame them at all.
Because you know what's funny, and I said it the other day, tongue in cheek, but a lot of kids probably felt like affirmative action was the reason why they weren't going to school.
Right.
And then you
found it was elitist action.
Yeah, now when you find that out, that has to be a crushing blow. Yeah, I would sue everybody.
And then,
you know what's funny? I saw a meme yesterday. Somebody sent out this meme, and they were dead wrong for this. But I don't know if you ever saw the movie Boys in the Hood.
And
one of the characters, Ricky, they said they were about to let Ricky in the USC with a 17 SAT score. So how hard is it to get in the USC? The internet is undefeated.
We are asking you on our Twitter at 929 The Game this morning, a little poll going on. What is your favorite non-game sports day of the year? Is it the NFL draft? Is it Selection Sunday? Is it the NBA draft? Or is it National Signing Day? I want you to vote. We want you to get into the conversation, comment as well. You know how to be part of that. And we'll let you know how that's going as we continue this Georgia Tech thing. We'll touch on it just briefly next and kind of bring you up to speed on what's going on as far as Tech is concerned on this very busy Friday with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on The Game. Morning show on a Friday. Do be careful out there because hydroplaning is real, all right? Want you to be safe. John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. A lot of ways to get involved in the show. Of course, you can always call us at 404-741-0929. You can text us in the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line is 404-741-0929. Our Twitter, at 929 The Game this morning, we're asking you, what is your favorite non-game sports day of the year? If your favorite non-game sports day of the year isn't on the list, you know, feel free to add it to the list, because Twitter, you only get four. We had to leave it at four. We're asking you, in terms of Selection Sunday coming up, is your favorite non-game sports day of the year the NFL Draft, Selection Sunday, the NBA Draft, or National Signing Day? And somebody said, what about the college football selection show? And other people have said, what about Hall of Fame inductions? And
yeah, that counts. I mean, but you didn't think about all that.
Well no, it's just we only got four.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why Twitter has never changed. You know, they went from 140 to 280. Why can't they go from like 4 to 10? What's the big deal in expanding the poll? But they don't. So since we only have four, we could. And so if your favorite isn't on there, then feel free to comment and say that, you know, I prefer the college football selection show, and I prefer this or whatever it is. It's just non-game sports day. Right now, 66% are saying the NFL draft, 18% National Signing Day, 12% Selection Sunday, and 4% the NBA draft. You know, I originally said NFL draft. I actually changed my vote.
To what?
National Signing Day. Because
is that really exciting, though?
Well, for me, because I'm a college football fan, and so to see guys flip around, and you know, to see who has the best class and where your team ranks in the class, is I watch the NFL draft. I'm locked in. I watch I watch all these. I'm locked in. How locked in are we going to be to the NBA draft this year as Hawks fans, especially if we have two first round picks, not to mention three second round picks?
I think the draft party is going to be fun. Yeah, definitely, especially with the success, I think it's safe to say that the success of the young players that we have now,
mm-hmm.
I would say yes. People are going to be definitely locked in to see what the next move that Coach Pierce and Travis Slink make in their quest to build a better basketball team.
Yeah, and it's going to be a busy weekend for the Hawks. They have back-to-back games on Saturday and Sunday, both on the road, at Boston tomorrow and at Orlando on Sunday. Of course, Atlanta United prepping for a home game against Philadelphia.
Oh, speaking of United,
Sunday.
Did you see the rings?
Oh, yeah.
Man. That's
the
nice.
The rings were pretty nice.
Man, that's nice. And you know what's funny? Because I am on the I have the Atlanta United app on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in your Google on your phone now, you can set it up so that you can automatically get hits on things that are important to you. Like Atlanta United, I got on there, Atlanta Falcons, you know, just the home teams. You know, and if any news happens with that team, then it'll give you an alert. And immediately, after the rings came out, they showed the pictures of the rings. And as a fan, you could buy a ring. Like, you could buy a replica of the championship ring. It's pretty cool. It's a really, really cool ring.
Yeah, it is really cool. And I saw them. But, you know, there were some fans, Hugh, who are a little mad at Atlanta United.
Why?
Because they did the ring ceremony over at the training facility, okay, up
instead
in Marietta.
Instead of doing it at the stadium?
In a private ceremony.
They got to do it again. I think, wouldn't they do it again, though?
I don't know. Beats me.
Or would they? I don't know.
The fans were saying, why didn't you wait till Sunday and do it before
that's
the game?
John, honestly, that's what I was thinking. I thought that would be the case because of, and this is not me, got to be careful. This is not me telling Atlanta United how to do their business, but that would have been bananas
right, to
have them get their ring. But then again, you want them to be focused on the game.
Right.
You know what I mean? Especially with it being as important as it is.
And it's important.
Yeah, it's very important. So maybe there'll be something at the half, maybe. But I get, like, now that I think about it, because I was kind of caught in the moment as well, but now that I think about it, it probably makes more sense to do it that way. It probably made more sense to do it that way.
Yeah, so you're probably right, because you don't want to have the
you
guys
don't want
out there,
to be like, oh my god,
the fans so badly want to be part of this, especially since look, it's the first title we've had in this town in 25 years almost. You know, so I mean, you know, the first ever for Atlanta United fans, obviously. And so and when I say title, I don't want to dismiss anybody out there, because whenever we talk about things like this,
no, because
other
what,
teams get mad.
Who was that? The Georgia Swarm.
You know,
they
the
got
Georgia Swarm yeah. or, you know, the, you know,
they got a title.
And whenever we talk about stuff, you know, fans of the Swarm or the Dream or the Legends or the this or the that, they all kind of get, you know, hey, what about us? You know, and you're, we're not, I'm just
it's
saying.
It's the most recent title.
Yes, and major. You know, I mean, you know, parade major kind of title.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice. I'm pretty sure that there are going to be a lot of Atlanta United fans that are going to be rocking that ring in the next couple weeks because it's really, really nice.
So we got a lot going on. Big day of college basketball with the ACC semifinals. Huge weekend of college basketball. That's one of the reasons we're asking you about the poll for Selection Sunday. Is Duke now suddenly, you know, the favorite to win the national title all over again? I guess we find that out tonight. If they redeem themselves tonight and beat North Carolina and they then win the ACC championship, I don't think there's any way. You know, Duke went from being not a number one seed, but if they win the ACC champion, they've got to not only be the number one seed, how are they not the number one seed? Of course they are. Who else would it be?
Number one seed? I think people still feel like Virginia. Virginia has a shot.
Well, yeah, but if Duke does beat Virginia in the ACC title game, I would have to rank Duke above Virginia.
Yeah, but in basketball, it's kind of like football. It's any given Sunday. Just because you beat them the first time doesn't mean you'll come around and beat them again.
No, it doesn't. And this is something a little inside baseball that you might not know about the NCAA tournament. There are 68 teams, right? And we well understand that there's seeds 1 through 16, you know, in each bracket. What you might not know is they're actually seeded, Hugh, 1 through 68. So there's a block of four that are the number one seeds, right? There's a number one seed and a number two number one seed and a number three number one seed and a number four number one seed. And the reason they do that is because the number one seed would play the worst team in terms of the number 16s, the very last team. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
And so the worst team available would be, so that's how they stagger it out, you know, so that they get the, you know, because the whole point of the tournament is to really, when the selection committee sits down, the whole point of the tournament is to put those number one seeds in the best position to possibly advance to the Final Four. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. And they're making no bones about it because that's what you want.
But yeah, but that's how it's always been. Like, but I do like the unknown factor is as far as like potential upsets. Mm-hmm. With certain teams, especially when you have Clemson? Who was it? Clemson and who did Clemson play and got booted out by? A couple days ago. Was it Virginia? No, wait a minute. I forgot who it was. But anyway, because there was 8 and 9 seed. But when they're closely grouped together and they play like that, I like that. I like it when it's a well contested game.
All right, we're talking about a lot of things this morning. It's a busy Friday, a lot going on, busy weekend ahead, of course, with Selection Sunday coming up. And yes, we're going to keep our eyes on this. I can't tell you, on this Georgia Tech story, I don't know where it's going. It does not sound good. And this has to do with that slime ball, Ron Bell. You might remember a couple of years ago, this guy who was like Pastner's best buddy out in Arizona, felt jilted as a friend of Pastner's, decided to throw him under the bus and started digging up all this trash about taking Josh Okogie out to Arizona on a flight and whatnot. And now this is coming out that an assistant coach, Daryl Labari, took a prospect and a team official on an official visit to a strip club. And it turns out maybe that the official, the guy working for the university was Jarrett Jack, and the prospect, according to ESPN, was Wendell Carter. They all went to a strip club and were given $300, presumably in singles. I don't know. But you took Wendell Carter to – wait a second. How old is Wendell Carter when you took him? Could he even go to a strip club?
Then, I mean, man, you know, you see the big tall guy, you're not going to ask how old he is. I don't think going to a strip club. But I see your point.
Yeah, man,
that's
don't
why
know.
You got to do your dirt on your lonesome, John. When you do things like that, like, you, first of all, number one rule, don't write checks and do it by, if you can, do it by yourself. You got a better chance of getting away with whatever it is you're doing. And that's not me condoning bad behavior. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just saying.
So when we're trying to lure free agents, should we take them to, like, Magic City? Should that be like the headquarters of recruiting and everything in Atlanta? We just built a little. We'll build a recruiting headquarters inside of Magic City. hey, look at this. This is the MLS Cup.
Wow, I don't even know how to.
Come here and play. We're champions. Look at us. Hey, did you hear that the Falcons have made a couple other signings? Have the Falcons done free agency right? And Brian Poole's got a new team. We'll talk about that as we continue on the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.